Blog Talk Radio.
Looking for inspiration to take action, to grow? Then you've arrived. The Coco Express has been waiting for you.
Hello and welcome to the Coco Express Show. I'm your host, Aurelia. And with every show, I like to just thank my sister for all of the work that she did for me when she was on this planet. That's the voice that you hear in our intro. She's no longer with us, but she will always be with the show. Now, let's get started. I have to tell you that they say the journey of a thousand miles starts today. And we all know that a journey is something that you are not really on because you said you were going to do that. A journey is something that you're on because life has a plan for you. I'll give you an example. I was volunteering for an event a couple years back, and it put me in the middle of the New York City Marathon. So I'm watching all these runners running, and I see all these disabled runners participating in this, and they're doing, and I'm saying in my mind, they're doing 26.2 miles. And I said, I want to do that. I want to try that. So it was just a notion coming in my mind, never thinking that I would have the opportunity to actually do it. But then an opportunity came up, and I said, oh, I'll give it a try. And that was a journey that I went on not knowing where it was going to take me. I didn't know if I was actually going to be able to do the training for a New York City Marathon. I didn't know if I was going to actually be able to finish it, no doubt. And the things that I endured and encountered while trying to prepare myself to do this, and the things that I endured and encountered the day of the race, and the things that I endured and felt after the race was over, that was a journey that I never expected to be on. But I did. I did it and I finished. And I'm using this analogy because our guest today, Mr. Roger Hill of Roger Hill Music, he has a story about his journey which brought him to where he is now. We never know where we're going to end up, but we know we're going to be someplace. And I would like to take the opportunity to bring to you this amazing man with an amazing voice to tell his story, to listen to some of his wonderful music, and just to get to know him. Please allow me the opportunity to bring to you Mr. Roger Hill of Roger Hill Music.
Hello, how are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Yeah, can't complain. Can't complain for a Friday night.
You can't complain. Okay.
Nah, not at all.
Oh, that's good. Now, I use the story of the marathon because I'm not a marathon runner, but I used to be a runner, but not, you know, those kinds of races. And mm-hmm. I use that with your story because you, as a young child, you were a gospel singer.
Mm-hmm.
And so
yes.
Tell us about your journey, how you started there and how it got to where you are now.
Well, it's very interesting, you know, because I recently just found out that I actually started singing when I was 3 years old. That's because I asked my mother something. Told me. I asked her, I said, when did I first start singing? And she said, well, it was around 3 years old, about 3 years old. So what happened, my sister and I, we were known as the Hill Sister and Brothers. We used to sing up in Rochester, New York, at all the different churches. And my mother was like the Joe Jackson of that era. She would book the shows, and she had me playing, you know, and taking guitar lessons, piano lessons, and all that stuff there. And my mother sewed also. And what she would do, if she bought a suit for me, she would make my sister dress. Or if she bought my sister dress, she would make a suit. Because we were, like, dressing alike. But during those times, to be honest with you, I didn't want to sing. My sister had a voice, they used to call it Diana Ross. And I didn't want to sing. I just wanted to kind of like just, you know, do the kid things, play, whatever, whatever. As time goes on in life, I kind of got away from it. You know, I was playing football in the construction. I went to college. I owned nightclubs. I actually would promote shows. And I was always around the music some kind of way. But I never wanted to sing. So as time went on, when I was like booking the shows or I had the nightclub, I would always get like a top artist to come to the club for my birthday party, like Angela Winbush and different entertainers. And then I would always try to go up and do a little singing. So what happened, I'll never forget, I did a show, Calvin Richardson, and I didn't make that much money on it. So my mentor, I went to her and I was like, hey, listen, I said, I'm not going to make the money on this show. And she said, well, listen, just get you a bottle of something and just have some fun. So I got me a bottle of Dom Perignon and I got a buzz on. And I went to Calvin Richardson band. I was like, yo, y'all know how to play Heat Waves, Always Forever? And they say, yeah. I said, when I go up there, play it. I went up there, and it was playing, and then I just blew. And people were, like, shocked and amazed. So that started then, but I still didn't want to sing. So fast forward, I wind up some years later, I wound up moving to Atlanta, Georgia. I've been here about 12 years now. And when I moved here, I didn't move here to come sing, okay? I moved here for change. And I wound up finding this place called Cat's Cafe. Cat is actually one of the singers in Climax. And she, on Thursdays, they have this open mic spot. And what we do is they have a live band. Most of the musicians, they play for different entertainers and stuff. If you can sing, you know, you go up there and you do your thing. I would go there and I would start singing, you know, things, you know, by Heat Wave, Always Forever, Jodeci, Donnie Hathaway. And, you know, I would go there every week to try to get better at it, you know. So one day, I want to say this was about 2 years ago, I was driving and I was listening to the radio. And I heard Footsteps in the Dark by the Isley Brothers. And it just hit me. I was like, yo, I got to learn that song. So I think that was on a Monday or Tuesday. So, you know, I had to kind of do some fast learning in those few days of learning the words. I was determined to go there on that Thursday and sing that song. So I wound up going singing Footsteps in the Dark. Didn't know all the words, but I told people to pray my strength to the Lord. So I did my little thing, you know. And so everybody liked it, and I was determined to keep going back and to keep singing it until I actually, you know, really got it down to where I want it. Mm-hmm. So during the course of that time, there was this guy, I guess he was a producer or something. He, I guess he'd come and he would listen to me. And he approached me a couple of times, but I just basically kind of blew him off because I really wasn't interested, you know, what he was saying. So I guess he went to Cat, and he was like, Cat, it's like, yo, I'm trying to, you know, see what's up with dude or whatever. So Cat came to me, and she's like, hey, Roger. She said, I'm just trying to see what's up, you know, check him out. I was like, all right, cool. So I goes over to him where he was at, you know, it's like, hey, you know, you got a beautiful voice, you know, I wrote this track. And he said, I want to see if, you know, have you ever wrote any songs or anything before? And I said, no. I said, but I wrote some poems. So he said, well, this is what I'll do. I'll send a track to you. I'll give you 2 weeks to write the song, and then we'll get together from there. So that was that Thursday. So I didn't listen to the song until that Saturday. When I listened to it and I started driving, I was like, this ain't too bad, you know. So this is what I did. Before I started doing any writing, I prayed. And I asked God to give me the knowledge, the wisdom, the strength, and the ability to write this song. Because I knew I was going to write a song.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 days later, I wrote a song called Come Back to Me, which it charted number 30 on Billboard this year.
Mm. Okay.
So what happened, went to the studio that Tuesday and laid my vocals down. When I heard the song, you know, my vocals and everything for the first time, I looked at dudes and I was like, yo, that song is going to be a hit. He looks at me like Red from the Five Heartbeats, like, yeah, right. So, so I was like, so we went on and did, so he was, this is what he said. He was like, listen, he said, what we'll do is we'll share copyrights. And I was like, okay. And from that point on there, I didn't really know too much about copyrights or anything. So what I did was I told him, I said, I got to kind of do some investigating or whatever. So he said, well, we'll split the copyright or whatever and, you know, production, all that stuff. And I was like, all right, cool. So now we're getting this thing going. So when I start listening to it more and more and more, a friend of mine, which is from Rochester, he also plays with me. He also played Ron Ivy for like 4 years, named Rick Marcel. I called him. I was like, Rick, I said, would you, like, put the strings on here? Because he's really good with the guitar and everything. So he listened to the song, right? He was like, yo, you want to pitch it? And I was like, nope, I'm keeping this. He said, all right. So he agreed to kind of enhance the song. So as time goes on, he started getting into it. And I started getting into it. So he was sending everything over to the producer, you know, let him do whatever. But every time he sent stuff over to enhance the song, the guy would change it. So we was trying to question, why does he keep changing everything, you know, because we're trying to make the song better. So he's steady talking about this copyright thing. So I'm like, hey, listen, I'm trying to find out a little more about it. So he started getting a little belligerent and everything. And I was like, yo, dude, you need to chill out, you know. So he kept talking about this copyright thing. And I'm like, dude, chill out. You know, I'm trying to find out what's going on. I'm just not going to sign my life away and I don't know what's going on. So I'll never forget, my mom had got sick and I went home and I told him, I said, listen, in my head, I knew exactly how I want the song because I got to hear some music. And I said, I wanted some really nice background vocals. And he's like, okay, I got it. When I went to New York and listened, and he called me and he let me listen to somebody, he got to do some background, and just changed the whole song. And I got so mad at him, man, just change it back. I'll do it when I get back. It's back. He's steady talking about this copyright thing. I said, man, would you just chill out? So we're just kind of going back and forth. So now he was like, and we come to the mixing part. So he was like, I got this guy who can mix this song, mix and master for $100. So I started scratching my head like, $100? So he introduced me to the guy. This is a true story. He introduced me to the dude. And when I saw the guy mixing board, it was the size of a lunchbox. And I was like, man, this don't look like no Dr. Drake mixing board or nothing. So what I wind up doing, I started investigating myself, Googling, and I found this studio called Patchwork Studio.
Mm-hmm.
So I called them up and, you know, told them what I was trying to do. They said, well, you can come down and get a little tour or whatever. So when I came down, I had a little tour, and I seen all the plaques with Diddy, Whitney Houston, and R. Kelly, everybody. I was sold. And then I seen that big old mixing board, like, yeah, that Dr. Dre board. I said, that's just where I need to be. So what I did was I went on to pay for the session, and that was that Thursday. So my session was going to be on that Monday. So I had told the dude, I said, you need to send the files over to the studio. So, you know, he had a little attitude. So now I'm thinking I'm all set. So that Sunday before I was supposed to go into the studio, I get a call from Patchwork, and they say, hey, Mr. Hill, we can't do your session because we don't have your files. And I was like, well, the dude sent over everything. And he was like, nah, he sent over an MP3 file. We need WAV files. And that's when I first understood what WAV files and MP3 files was all about.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm texting the dude, calling the dude. He's not responding. He's not answering. And I'm like, yo, I didn't pay my money for this thing. I was like, man, I'm about to lose my money. So I called Rick up, and I was like, Rick, I said, I think dude just screwed me over, man. I said, he didn't send these wrong files over and everything. So Rick was like, man, I kind of figured that dude was going to do something crazy. He said, because he kept changing everything. So he said, this is like 6 o'clock that Sunday. So Rick said, listen, he said, give me a couple hours. He said, I'm going to hit you back. So Rick calls me about 9 o'clock, and I was kind of sweating bullets. He calls me back about 9 o'clock. And he said, listen, I sent the files over to you. I sent files over to Patchwork Studio. He said, go into the studio tomorrow, lay your vocals down. He said, from this point on, we don't have to deal with this guy at all. Go do a new copyright. And he said, from there, we'll take it from there. I said, all right, cool. So when I went to
him? Like, I'm curious, what happened?
I'm going to tell you. So I go to the computer, and I open up the file, and when I heard I was like, wow. So the next day, I went to the studio. True story. I went to the studio, and as I'm in that studio, I said, I'm about to show this dude better than I could tell him, because he didn't know I can really sing.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened from that point, I laid my vocals down, and the rest was history. Basically, what he did, he awoke on a sleeping giant. So right now, I'm actually on my 10th song. And not only that, I'm on my 10th song, and I have since last year, Ron Isley has heard me sing.
Mm-hmm.
Teddy Riley, they've heard all my music and stuff. I'm in the studio right now with Grammy Award-winning producer Stephen Russell from Troop.
Mm-hmm.
He actually produced. Nobody knows. I wrote it. He produced it. So it just shows you how the doors just opened up for me. And I write all my lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, the guy just opened. He just awoke on a sleeping giant. But
now,
I never wanted to sing.
And I was getting ready to get back to that. All that time, all that time that you were not singing, was music in your background? Was it always there for you, or you were just like doing everything in your power not to go in that direction?
I wasn't paying attention to it. I mean, like I love going to concerts. I would, sometime I'd be in a shower, I'm singing. Sometime I'll, like I said, when I had the club, I would get up there and sing, you know, have me a little drink. I'd get up there and get to singing, you know, and people thought it was a joke, you know. I would sound okay, but they thought it was a joke, you know. I remember one time I was trying to sing in a house band that I had for the club, and this was one of my relatives. He was like, man, get out of there. You can't sing. Man, get out of there. Don't. Get. I was like, all right, anyway, you know. And it's just funny how this has just came about.
Yeah, and that's really interesting when we talk about journeys and destinations and, you know, how this came about. And the interesting thing about it, you were trying to be Average Joe, and you are not Average Joe. You are a man with a gift and a talent and a blessing for us, and you were trying to hide it under a rock. And I don't think the universe wanted you to do that. So I guess you got pushed into this, and now you're here, and they're not allowing you to keep the lid closed on it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, you're right.
So, I'm okay, average Joe, not.
No,
so,
average Joe here.
No, you're not. You're not average Joe. So what I wanted to do was I wanted to play your song, and then you can tell, you know, you can tell us about how the lyrics came about so that we can get an idea of what goes on with you, because that's how you learn a lot about people, through their music. Okay? Here we go.
You're right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Nobody knows the way I feel. Thinking about this love that I have in me. You're the only one that was made for me. Desires of your love, memories of you on me. There's no other place I'd rather be. Lay you down. Nobody knows the way I feel about you.
Okay, I got lots of questions now. Let me begin. Now, what is your muse when you're writing your songs? What inspires you? What gets you to write the lyrics that you do?
I have to say that I'm like the male version of Mary J.
Oh, Lord.
Oh,
Okay.
I've been some different things.
Mm-hmm.
But not everything is like that. Nobody knows. Let me tell you how Nobody Knows came about. I was with someone for 5 years, almost 5 years, and we broke up last year. And I hadn't seen her since last year. So I decided to stop over her house in March. And when I stopped there, you know, she came to the door. And she was like, I thought you'd have been back here by now. And I was like, yeah, right. So I go in, and when I walked in there, you know, we went to talking, you know, just telling her, you know, my reasons for doing what I do, you know. And I noticed that she had all these tissue boxes around the house in the room. And I was like, why you got all these tissue boxes around here? So she just running through the house crying and stuff. She started laughing. So I was like, you know what? I said, you need to go lay on somebody's couch. She's like, you need to go lay on somebody's couch. So all of a sudden she gets up, and I'm just sitting there, right? And I was like, man, nobody knows. Nobody knows how you feel about her. And it stuck with me.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, wow, okay. So when I got back into my truck, go home, I wrote it down, Nobody Knows. And I started developing that song. And I just developed it. It took me about 3 months to write that song. Some songs I can write,
mm-hmm.
like, in a short period of time. Excuse me, like, Come Back to Me was the first song that I wrote. And I wrote that in 2 days. Most of my songs, it takes me like either a month, 2 months, whatever, something like that. But you can't rush good lyrics. They have to just come to you.
And let them marinate a little bit and get them out there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to play Come Back
to
Me.
One.
So that we can hear what that part of your creative genius, the quick part of your creative genius sounds like. Because we see the one where you let it marinate for 3 months and see what we got with that one. So now let's play Come Back to Me so we can hear what that looks like.
Okay.
Stop and listen, walk with me. Joy of laughter is what I see. I remember those times we had. Love would never end. Ooh. Emotions running on high, dream of passion, I cannot lie. Where did love go that I don't know? Baby, can't you see? Come back to me. Ooh, just stay where you are. Cause the night for love, you're never too far. Change. Wishful thinking, love no more. Tears keep falling, hearts are broke. There's a cool breeze of love that's gone. So what am I to do? Come back to me. Too far. Love will be the same, but tonight.
Nice. Very nice.
Mm-hmm.
So you were feeling upbeat when you wrote this one.
Yeah, I have. I kind of wrote it about somebody, but then I didn't write it about somebody.
Mm. Okay.
But it's a good song.
Good. Now, before, do you feel, I'm just going to ask you, do you feel that you had to have some experiences in your life so that you could appreciate the time that you're at now?
I think so, because the more and more I look at things, I don't think I was ready. You know, I had people ask me, why now? Well, I say when God says it's time for you to do something, you do it, but I don't think I was ready back then.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even though vocal-wise, you know, I probably could have, you know, but you had to, I never wrote a song in my life. Even though in my mind, even before I started singing, I said, you know what, I can write a song. Matter of fact, a couple of years, about 2 years before I started, I know I can write a song, but I never tried it, you know. And I feel I can do anything I put my mind to.
Okay, you sound like me when I say, I think I can run a marathon.
And you can.
Yes, you can. So, but I'm sorry, continue what you were saying.
I just felt that I wasn't ready, but I had to mature and learn different things in life and go through some different things. And I just wanted to write about love songs, and because I just felt that we need love. And during that time where COVID was going on, you know, people were dealing with divorces, breakups, all kind of things, you know. And there was a need, and to this day, there's still a need for love. But I wanted to write feel good music, you know, because even though a person may not be with someone, if you listen to certain songs, it'll make you feel like you are there or want to be in love or are in love until you at the end of the song and be like, all right, I'm by myself now, you know? So then you start playing the song over again and be like, I'm in a relationship again every time I play that song.
Oh, but are you a hopeless romantic?
Well, I do whatever.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you know, what the world needs now is love. We need more love. But, you know, that's the beauty of it, the simple fact that you are able to take how you feel and put it on pen and, you know, put it down on paper and then share it with the world and give us the opportunity to feel what you feel.
That's like, I don't know if you have that song. It's called Your Heart, My Heart. And that song, when I wrote that one, I was just thinking. And I was like, I wanted to write something where it's just positive with two individuals, Your Heart, My Heart. We all about each other. And one of the first verse of that, when I was writing it, and I was thinking, I said, you know what? I said, what do we do? Because usually love controls the mind first. And once love controls the mind, you become a prisoner of love in your heart. And once you become a prisoner, you can't just break out of that so quick. It takes time to break out of that prisoner of love. So when I wrote that song, you know, those were the lyrics. And then I wanted to write something where a woman will make you, just letting you know that, listen, I got you. I got your back. I'll be there for you. Never worry. I'll pray for you. Show you love like Missouri. Those are some deep words, because I know that that's what women want to know. They want someone that they can depend on. They want to hear those things.
Okay. I show you love like Missouri. Okay. I'll remember that one.
Oh, listen to that song there. That song, Your Heart, My Heart. Oh, yeah.
Now, I wanted to ask you something. This has been burning mm-hmm. in my head since we started our conversation. If you had the opportunity to go back in time, knowing what you know now, what would you tell your younger self?
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's a good question. I'm wondering if I would have wanted to sing back then, but I don't know. You know, I don't know. That's a good question. That's a very good question. Never thought about it.
Well, now's the time.
What would I tell my younger self?
Mm-hmm. Now's a good time.
What would I tell my younger self? Maybe I would have started writing more back then. But then again, experience is the best teacher, and you have to go through some things in order to become a good writer. And, you know, when writing a song, it's like telling a story.
Mm-hmm.
You have to tell a story, and it has to make sense. But it has to be where everybody can relate to. So when you listen to my music, everyone can relate. You can relate to that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's a cool breeze of love that's gone, mm-hmm. you know? Everybody has experienced that. And the words are very deep. You know, if a person just take the time and listen to the lyrics that I write, they would be like, wow. Because the lyrics are very deep. Very deep. And it tells you how I am as a person, too.
Okay, everybody, you heard it. If you want to know him, you got to listen to his music. So all you ladies out there, if you want to know him, you got to listen to his music.
Listen to the music. And you know what? If I can write a song about someone, if I'm around you a little while, just depends on the mood that I'm feeling. But yeah, one of the things I do is I try to pay attention to a lot of my surroundings now, because sometimes certain things will come to you and you don't even realize that that's a song or mm-hmm. near to a song, mm-hmm. you know. And because of what I'm doing now, it's just like, you know, wow. So most of my songs that I write, I'm in the construction. I build houses in the Atlanta metro area. So I'm constantly writing as I drive. And like when I'm working inside the houses, you know, I'll get off into myself and just things will come to me.
Okay.
But I want things to just make sense, you know.
Gotcha.
So everyone does things different though, but that's how
mm-hmm.
I do it.
Okay, now, if you had to give advice to anyone, anyone, someone who's just starting out or someone who's very young or someone who's, you know, making a transition, what advice would you give them?
One of the biggest things that I would give them, I would tell them to learn the business, because there are so many people who are coming into this and don't have a clue about the business because they're so stuck on the fame. It's many people who have the fame who are broke. I've came across some people who they're recording songs in the basement and in houses and stuff, and then all of a sudden they want to release a song, put it on Spotify, but it's not registered, don't have codes. So if the song blow up, how are you going to get paid? But that's because they're worried so much about the fame of, oh, man, people like me and going out on stage and all that stuff. You got to learn the business. Mm-hmm. I've been taken advantage of in certain situations, but I had to learn quick. So what I've been doing is just on the job training. You know, many nights I'm up Googling, just like I had to learn about the copyrights. I had to learn about that stuff. I had to learn about getting the codes and stuff. There's a lot of stuff you have to learn. And a lot of people just don't know. And that's why they've been taken advantage of over the years. So I say it's more than just going out and singing somewhere. You have to learn the business. That's one of the number one things that I would tell anyone.
All right. That is great advice. And if people wanted to follow you, how can they find out more, follow you, find out where you're going to be appearing, you know, if you're doing anything live or anything like that? How can they find you?
So everyone can follow me. I'm on all social media, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. I'm under Roger Hill Music. And I post, you know, where things that I'm doing, people I'm working with. Like I said, right now, I'm working on an album for the 2024. Grammy Award winning producer Stephen Russell, lead singer of Troop. So we're at the studio right now, and first debut is The One Nobody Knows. He produced that. I wrote that one. Also, I have a Pandora station. If you want to, you know, if everyone's on Pandora, you can find me under Roger Hill Music Radio. They will love it, too. You'll love it.
Great.
You love all the Will Downings, the Ron Isley, the Maxwells, the Roger Hill Music. Boy, you'll love that station.
Okay, great, 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 great. So I just want to tell you that I really enjoyed spending time with you. It was a pleasure. You are welcome back anytime, because, you know, we share that New York state of mind, because I'm originally from Brooklyn. I just wanted to share that with you.
Brooklyn.
Yes. So you are more than welcome to come back anytime and, you know, share some more of your music and some, you know, more of your journey and some of the nuggets and the experiences that you've had. So it's been real. It's been a real pleasure, and thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, yes. So to all of my listeners, I wanted you to, you know, have the opportunity to meet Mr. Roger Hill, to get to know him, to understand him and his music, and know that what he said is, if you're going to get involved with something, know the business. Whatever it is that you're doing, know the business so that you will not fall victim to whatever's out there that's trying to scam you out of whatever it is that you have going on. That is your gift and your blessing to the world. I'm just going to let everybody know that you got to take care of yourself. Be well. God bless. And thank you to our amazing guest, Roger Hill. Have a good night.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for spending time with us. Come back now, yeah?